Christian, mother, wife,
Air Force veteran,
gun rights advocate.
This is Stacy on the Right. Here's your host, Stacy Washington.
Hour three of Stacy on the Right here. Stacy Washington, your hostess with the mostest, holding it down until midnight on the East Coast and 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Thank you for being with us tonight, and we are so excited to welcome into the show Dunham Biles. He is joining us. He's a litigation attorney, founding member of Biles Wilson PLLC. Thank you so much, Dunham, for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my goodness. The trial in New York City. The jury selection was almost more than I could take. I felt like I needed a week off just to sleep off all the things we learned about these people. Most of them are single. They're all two lawyers. I mean, I was like, how do these people get put on a jury? But there they are.
Yeah, they use a process there in New York I'm not familiar with. It's a very strange process the judge used. And I think that's why you land up with two lawyers as a litigator. Those are the first people we generally eliminate. You don't want lawyers, as a general matter, on your jury. So they don't normally get there. But this judge used a strange process for exercising strikes. And I think both parties were afraid to use them because they didn't know who would land up on the jury as a result, given the way that the process worked.
I mean, I'm obviously not an attorney. As soon as I heard that there were two lawyers on there, I was like, that's not allowed. My husband laughed at me. He said, how do you know that? I said, I've watched enough Law and Order to know that lawyers aren't allowed on the jury. And he was like, but that's TV. I was like, but it's based in reality. And then, of course, I did look online and I saw that usually during voir dire, they eliminate attorneys. In fact, usually attorneys, you know, try their darndest not to even have to submit to jury duty because they're too busy trying cases.
That's right. Most of the time they get off, and most of the time you don't put them on there because we call it jury selection, but it's really jury deselection. What you're looking to do is eliminate people. And generally speaking, you want to eliminate anyone who is going to be a leader, because then you run the risk of trying a case to one instead of a jury of 12, because with a lawyer, you really run the risk that they'll lead the entire jury. And so now you've gone from 12 to one.
Mm-hmm. And that they would use their expertise in the legal arena to pick the case apart to the benefit of one or the other, either the prosecution or the defense, and that they would, you know, smack down any arguments of people who maybe don't believe the person's guilty or believe the person's guilty based on their legal expertise. Like it has happened to me many times before. Someone who I don't know is an attorney, and everyone's sitting around talking, and a strong opinion comes up, and the person who's an attorney eviscerates that opinion. You still disagree with them, but you don't have an adequate response to what they've said because they have the ability as a lawyer to be very forcefully for or against something and to use language that is far and away more convincing than anything you can say, even if you feel very strongly that they're wrong. This is the reason why people go to law school. It's grueling, and it trains you how to argue and to make a point forcefully and convincingly. So I can't believe they made it on. I think it's the worst out of all the things I read about the people who are on the jury is the fact that two attorneys made it on.
You and I agree. That was the first thing. I literally couldn't believe it when I saw that two jurors or two judges or yeah, two lawyers got on the jury. And that's one of the things my partner and I were discussing was, as I understand it, the judge used a process. Normally you would come in and you'd have an entire panel sitting there and you voir dire. In Texas, we call it voir dire for some reason.
Oh, all right. No, that's okay. I was born in Texas. I got a little of that in me. I call it voir dire if that is the way it's pronounced.
Yeah. So, but they use a process where they brought in each potential juror one by one, qualified them or not, and then you had to exercise strikes. And normally you count up where you are on the line because, you know, the first person is on the jury unless somebody strikes them. So you can use your abilities to choose wisely whether to strike someone or not, because you know who then could be on the jury. Here, they had no idea.
So I saw that in some of the analysis that people were writing about it, they said that they felt like the Trump team used their strikes up too soon. And by the time they got around to these attorneys, it was too late. They had no strikes left.
Yes, I don't know that that's right, but that was definitely a risk given the way they did it. This judge handled the selection. But the interesting thing about this case is what I think most people wouldn't realize is we've actually now they've completed the two very most important things. I would say jury selection is the first and foremost important thing you do. Those are the people who are going to decide the fate of the case. And then your opening statement is the second most important thing, because all the studies would show that something like 80% of jurors have their mind made up at the end of opening statements, and they never change their mind again. So this case, though it has 6 weeks to go, apparently, has already accomplished two of the most important things to the entire case.
So the opening statements have already occurred?
Yes, they happened today.
So and talk to us about what we know about that.
Well, what we know about this is that the prosecution spent their time walking through their argument, but their argument is curious, to say the least. I mean, their theory is that this was an entire conspiracy orchestrated to fix the election in 2016, which to me is crazy. In fact, I agree with Jonathan Turley. I don't know if you saw his comments today, but he said that it's an embarrassment. This case is now a flat-out embarrassment, and I think it's an embarrassment to my profession.
Well, I didn't hear his comments, but I'll tell you, I've heard some people saying in different videos online and people just personally kind of expressing themselves saying that it is an embarrassment. And I'm hearing this more frequently from New Yorkers, because New Yorkers consider themselves to be a pretty serious bunch. Like they're from New York. They think it's a serious thing, and they understand that their city and state features prominently in pretty much everything from finance to business to law. And people want to be taken seriously. They don't want New York to be a laughingstock. And this is really one of those cases where the statute of limitations ran out. So they, you know, kind of tethered it to another charge in order to give it life again. We never see that with hardened criminals. Like, there have been times where hardened criminals, you finally find out that you have enough evidence against them to prosecute them for something, and the statute of limitations have run out, and they walk. So how can a hardened criminal walk? How can all these cases go unprosecuted under Alvin Bragg? People are now complaining about that. Crime victims are saying that their perpetrators, the people who allegedly committed the crimes against them, are walking free because Alvin Bragg doesn't have time for anything but prosecuting Trump.
Yeah, I wish I could say I don't know the answer to that, but sadly it appears the answer is self-evident. Bragg ran on bragging that he was going to get Trump, and he appears to have set out to do that. And given you make a great point about the timing of this, as far as he waited. Everybody knew about this. The Federal Elections Commission and everything had investigated, DOJ had investigated the underlying alleged campaign finance law. They chose not to do anything about it. New York chose not to do anything about it. And then Bragg waits till the statute of limitations is blown and brings it so that now we have a trial going on during the middle of an election campaign. I don't know. Seems obvious to me, though, what the motivation there was.
Yep. It's obviously the same as what we saw from Letitia James, who I saw a story, and I honestly was thinking I need to look around and see if I can vet this, that she's announced that she hopes she will be able to void former President Trump's bond in the case that she won, quote unquote, against him. He reserved a bond, he secured it with cash, and now she's saying she wants to get that voided. Is that even possible?
I believe I saw that there's a hearing coming up soon on that, and I think they may have worked that out, actually. I thought I saw something on the news today about that. But, it would be possible, but it's a little silly. What I saw that she's claiming is the particular insurance company that did the bond might not be licensed in New York to provide that bond. But if the money's there, they'll find a way to make that right, it seems to me.
Right. If he put the money there, then
You got the money. I mean,
right. She wanted Trump Tower. She was talking about taking his house in Bedminster. I mean, there was all this talk about all the things she was going to take. And I feel like it's almost sour grapes for her. Like, she just can't stand not being able to take anything from him.
No, she wants a show, it would seem. And it saddens me, because when we talk about government lawyers and prosecutors, they have a very high ethical obligation, one that's different than me. It's just as a litigator, their job is literally to do justice. It's not per se to win for a client or you know, zealous of the advocate. They're supposed to do this for the sake of the people, for justice. And that doesn't seem to be what's going on, because you're right. Alvin Bragg and others, I think, aren't even prosecuting misdemeanors. They're now going to spend 6 weeks of a jury's life, 6 weeks when Trump should be campaigning, using up resources all on a dressed-up misdemeanor.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense when you pass up real crimes. There are actual people being harmed, and they're not getting prosecuted.
So now let's talk about one of the most powerful weapons in President Trump's arsenal, and that is the unbelievably gorgeous and intelligent, and she's got a social media presence that is unmatched. My favorite are the accounts that I'm pretty sure she doesn't know exists, and they only post images of her outfits and where you can buy them. So it's Melania Trump. There was a big furor over, you know, well, she wasn't at this trial. She wasn't here. She wasn't there. Well, I follow some accounts of people who actually spend time with the Trumps at Mar-a-Lago and their home in Bedminster. And I noticed that she actually has dinner with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago whenever he's home. And they usually come out to the dining room in the club. And there's usually people waiting there for them, and they get applause. And there are a lot of people who want to greet them and shake their hands. And I noticed she has dinner with her husband a few times a week on these accounts. They literally post the images and the videos of the two of them coming out. Sometimes Barron is with them. Sometimes he's not. And she always looks fabulous, well-dressed, obviously. She looks happy. She's smiling. All of this rumored tension between the two of them, I really feel like it's trumped up. It's made up, because I haven't seen any actual live footage of her looking unhappy. And I'm talking about recent stuff. Like, it's not been months since I've seen her. It's been at least, I think, a week since I looked online and went to one of these accounts and saw her coming out to the dining room at the club, Mar-a-Lago. And, you know, there's Trump and there she is, and they're greeting their friends and having a meal.
Yeah, no, look, people are just looking for anything to criticize Trump for. And they don't clearly care about the merits of their criticism. And so they go after that. But, you know, don't forget that Melania, as you mentioned, obviously a very well-dressed, beautiful woman. And as First Lady, normally that gets a lot of press going back to, you know, Jackie O and all these things. And she got no credit that I can recall while she was the First Lady.
No, she didn't do any Vogue covers, which is pretty normal for the First Lady to be on a cover of Vogue. I think they had Mrs. Obama on the cover of Vogue and the other fashion magazines 8 times, I think, during her 8 years, and no times for Melania, who literally burned Instagram to the ground with those fashion choices she was making. Unbelievable clothes, unbelievably well-cut figure. So this is the double standard of our age. But people are wondering if they're going to see her at the actual court, for especially since it'll be 6 weeks. He's going to have to be there every day for 6 weeks at a time. Do you think that she's going to make an appearance at court in New York?
I have no idea, honestly, but obviously she has a son to raise. They have houses to take care of. They have a lot going on, and whether she's there or not is not likely to make any difference in the results. And so I'm sure she's trying to keep everything going while unfortunately her husband is stuck there for maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks. But if it's anything like any other marriage that we've ever known, ever heard of, we know for a fact that you want to be with your spouse, and she will eventually make her way to New York to spend some time with her husband, and maybe not in the courtroom, maybe. But I definitely think there's a strong chance we're going to see Mrs. Trump in the space there, and that it's going to be a pretty good thing to see. So anything else you think we should know about, not just the case, but this opportunity that we have to kind of learn more about the Trumps and everything that's going on?
Well, I think the thing that bothers me most about this case is all of the timing issues, going back to how long they knew about this problem and the timing of when they finally brought the charges. And now we're wasting 6 weeks of everybody's time on a trial that others have called embarrassing. It's just, And we need to remember sort of the double standard here, too. I mean, Senator Edwards got prosecuted on a similar type of charge, except for it was $1 million, not $130,000. And at the time, most of the folks agreed that this was a ridiculous claim, and the Democrats were up in arms that it was unfair that a Republican prosecutor was going after Senator Edwards for politics. Now the shoes reverse, and they're all for it.
I think the thing that I'm hearing on The View most often is that it's not us who's commies, it's them. They're the ones who want to prosecute their political enemies. And I'm like, this is literally what's happening right now to Donald Trump. Like, you literally cannot make it up. It is happening to him right now in real time. It's my hope that he's going to beat this case handily and that we're going to see an amazing victory for him out of New York, that the jurors, you only need one, right? We only need one juror to see the truth. Hopefully that one juror is there and will do the right thing. Maybe he could just actually be straight up innocent. I mean, I guess there's still a chance of that.
That would be great for all of us. It'd be great for respect for how the law is supposed to work, how prosecutions are supposed to work. Let's hope that that is the result.
I'm hoping and I'm praying and I'm wishing and every other thing that can possibly happen. So glad to have you here tonight and to be able to talk to you about this. We always appreciate your legal expertise and you sharing with us. Great to talk to you, Dunham Biles.
Thank you.
Have a great evening. Have a great evening. You too. Talk to you again soon. Yeah, I love it. I love having an attorney here because that helps us so much with making head or tails of everything that we're hearing about this case. All right, we have more Stacey on the Right for you coming up next. Stay right there.